You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, BC. This radio is diverse, independent, and always yours. Check us out at cjsf.ca or search CJSF 90.1 FM on SoundCloud.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Creativity is a journey with lots of ups and downs, twists and turns. To be creative, one cannot watch from the sidelines. Our guest today says, "I believe with all my heart that creativity is the natural state of each of us. It is our birthright. We are born with an instinct to express ourselves, just as we are born with an instinct to survive. We come into this world whole and connected to our capacity to give voice to our feelings and desires. But something happens to us in the process of growing up that disconnects us from that voice." Today we'll be exploring the question, how can we tap into what has inward meaning to us that will lead us to an outward expression of significance, with our guest, Kathy Wilde. Kathy Wilde is a creativity expert and has developed creative processes for both private and corporate clients. She's a pioneer in somatic counseling, the expressive arts, and the field of life coaching. She has founded Body-Centered Healing, an experiential process which supports clients on the personal journey of transformation. Her private practice is located in Northern California. She's the author of Wild Ideas, Creativity from the Inside Out. Join us for the next hour as we explore the creative process with our guest, Kathy Wilde. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Kathy, welcome.
Hi, Justine. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to have you. I know that early on in your career, you stepped out creatively. I was just struck by something that you mentioned early on, that you found yourself doing something called body conditioning. And that was long before we had fitness trainers. So you are not a stranger to getting out there with your creative endeavors. So can you give us a little overview of how you got into that and what that was like for you?
That was a long time ago. And I think it was really partly an act of desperation because I had tried to go the traditional route. And that day, most people, even the people I knew that were creative, were working for other people.
So the traditional route would be what?
The traditional route is, you know, you finish school and then you pick a field and you get a job somewhere. And you work 9 to 5, and you work for other people. And that seemed to be what everyone was doing. And I tried that for a long time, and I tried a variety of different fields. And after a while, I started noticing it didn't seem to matter what sort of job I had. The structure of the work world was something that just didn't work for me. I needed to make my own hours and have my own time. And it was very excruciating to come to that realization, because there really weren't people doing that the way there are today, where the entrepreneur is kind of a big buzzword now. So at the time, it was really a combination of despair and ingenuity. And I just decided I had to find something for myself. And I had had, I worked at a gym. It was really more of a health spa. And I had taught classes. And so I had had that background. And I had a background in ballet. And I had read an article that I saw a ballet dancer from New York, a retired ballet dancer, was teaching stretching classes. And it just kind of set off a chain reaction in me. And I just decided that I was going to start my own business, and I was going to focus on body conditioning.
I love that idea that you read an article and then you noticed something. It got your attention, and then you noticed that it got your attention. You know, you didn't just gloss over it and say, oh, that's an interesting article. It kind of... You let it stop you, in other words.
I did, and I think that's the key. I think when you get to the point that you're looking or searching for something and you're really aware of what's going on around you, you need to pay attention to those resonances and those signs. And at that time, I had been getting myself back into shape. I really hadn't been feeling that well, and I was young, and my natural health and my natural conditioning wasn't getting me by anymore. So I had just spent that prior year working on my own health and healing and getting myself back into shape. So I think the combination of having that personal experience along with reading the article and having some kind of background in dance and having taught some classes at a health club, that really prepared me to notice and to take notice of that article. So there was a synchronicity that happened.
So that just naturally leads me into the idea that you give advice about people who want to pursue their creativity. And you give advice that you need to know yourself. You need to really look into yourself. You need to find what is contributed to who I am right now, or to know clearly what does success mean to you? These are some of the questions that you suggest that we explore. Can you say something about the importance of knowing ourselves deeply to know that we can sustain a creative process?
Well, I think that's really the key to success. And when you're young, it's hard to know who you are. I know that was certainly my struggle. And the more self-knowledge you have, the more you take the time to explore who you are, particularly if your path isn't just unfolding for you. I think there are many, many people that go to school and then they think about what they want to do and they follow a path that is very clear for them. But more and more, I think people are finding that the answers aren't out there. And it makes sense to take time to get to know yourself. I have a number of clients now in their 20s and early 30s that are coming to see me for that reason. They've experimented, like I did, with the job market. And for one reason or another, it isn't working for them. And they're coming in to get to know themselves better so that they can make choices that are going to work or create those choices to create those realities that are going to work for them.
So what are some of the questions you might have someone explore if you're helping them to know themselves more deeply?
Well, I think one of the key questions is how sensitive a person is. A lot of the clients that come to see me are what I would call highly sensitive people. Our culture is not designed for highly sensitive people. It's really about people who can go for it, just do it, for strivers and achievers. And those people really can get ahead, and the more they do, the better they feel. But there's a number of people that want to find their path and they want to make a mark in the world, but at the same time, they're highly sensitive, which means they need a different kind of path. They need something that considers their whole person. So one of the things that we first find out about is whether the person is highly sensitive and what kind of experiences have you felt drawn to in your life. And it isn't just what you like to do. What is the environment that you like to work in? Are you someone that likes quiet? Do you like to work with other people? So it's not simply just what are you interested in, but also the environment and the kinds of conditions in which you want to thrive.
Now, I know that not everyone grows up in that perfect environment. And in fact, you yourself, you grew up in a rather neglectful environment. Your mother was not really present for you. And at some point in your life, beyond being resentful or feeling betrayed or anything, you realize that there was something that helped you to be more creative in because of that environment. Do you recall?
Well, I certainly didn't feel that way at first. I think it took a very long time. I did feel resentful and deprived at one level. And sad and a lot of despair, because for people who are missing that early nurturing, it makes a huge dent in your ability to make your way. And that's one of the things that I deal with clients, is if you've come from your background has a lot to do with whether you're going to be able to make your way or not. So I think that healing is really important. I do think that I was determined to survive that kind of experience where my mother had a number of breakdowns. Eventually, she was committed for a while. And I witnessed all that. And so I was determined to survive. It inspired me to survive and to do something different with my life. And eventually, as I got older and I was able to do my own healing, there was a breakthrough that occurred as a result of that. And I think that's a very important process for people who are struggling to find their way creatively. If you're feeling blocked, a lot of the time there's unfinished business in the past. It isn't just something in the current present that you can just easily get over. And I think it's worthwhile spending time and looking at some of that unfinished business so that you can unblock and feel a clearer direction in your life.
Exactly. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. So when you're talking about getting over those blocks, it might be helpful to have someone like yourself or someone else to help you ask the right questions or journaling or whatever. What are some of the suggestions that you work with?
Well, I think there is a number of workbooks out there now where people can begin that process on their own. And certainly there's so many therapists and life coaches now. It's really become much more of an open situation, right, where people can talk about those things. But what I specialize in is seeing people who have often done a lot of that and they're still stuck. From my point of view, the creative process comes alive when you enter into the depth of these experiences that may have impacted you deeply in your life. And there's a way to process those experiences through movement, through sound, through voice, through dialogue, through process work. And I specialize in process work.
I'm here with Kathy Wild, and she's the author of Wild Ideas, Creativity from the Inside Out. If you want to be in touch with her about her work, you can go to her website, kathywild.com, and she spells her name Kathy with a C, WILD.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Kathy Wild. She's a pioneer in creativity and process work. And Kathy, you just mentioned some of the ways that you work with people. When you come to, people come, have already done probably a lot of work by the time they get to you, but they're still stuck. And you said that you work with many different kinds of creative expressions. Can you talk about that more fully?
Yes. I think that talk counseling, talk therapy has a lot of value to it. And then at a certain point, you keep telling the same story again. And primarily, you're having an intellectual experience. And even if you are having feelings that come out of that experience, it's still not happening in your body. And what we've learned over time is that our experiences and the memories of those experiences actually are in the body itself. And that's where conditions like PTSD come in, where these experiences are actually in the body, and the blocks to our ability to create and to move with less anxiety in the world actually has to do with what is being held in the body. So the techniques I use address and directly involve the body, and then we bring it up to the rational mind to think about. So some of the techniques that allow a client to move into their body and have direct access to these experiences have to do with the creative imagination, techniques like Gestalt dialogue, movement, sounding, acting out the drama. If you are having a conflict, acting out the various parts. I have a bag of techniques, a bag of tricks. And what's important is matching that with the client and their needs. I think it's more effective to really assess where a client's at and then match the techniques for what they're ready
so
for.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all.
No, it definitely isn't a one-size-fits-all. And I think one of my strengths is that I'm able to adapt to a client. And I also teach people how to write and journal. And I start with a very low bar. I think most of my clients appreciate that. We also use doodling and drawing.
Oh, I love it. Doodling. I do a lot of doodling.
Anything
myself
that is process oriented, that uses the body, that circumvents the thinking mind, will enable a client to get much deeper into the body memory, which then brings it up. And while there is a period of discomfort, ultimately there's an incredible sense of freedom that is because we're making space in the body and in the mind for something new, because where that memory or that experience that was unprocessed was taking up space. There is not just an infinite amount of room. As we get older, all these experiences are stacked up in the body, and they accumulate like a block. They become like a block or like dark smoke that inhabits the body. And there's just less and less light, less and less room. And eventually all this unintended energy, unattended energy begins to form a block and gets in the way of healthy expression.
Exactly. One of the questions that you ask once you've been doing that work for a while, to find someone's creative expression, and I'm going to paraphrase it because it's a question I've come up before in some previous interviews, and I just love it. It's really about if money were not an issue, if all my needs were taken care of, the roof over my head, and I felt satisfied with my hierarchy of needs, what would I be doing to really, really ask that question, to just put aside all the withholds that we have about, yeah, but I need to pay the rent or the mortgage, or I have to pay off my car, or I have to, you know, my kid's education, or whatever it is. But if all of that were taken care of, what would I really be doing? I just think that's such a powerful question. Is there something that you can say about that?
Well, yes, I can. I think it is a powerful question for people who can actually answer it. But one of the things that I find is that people are so afraid of their desires that even if you pose that question, they can't think outside that limit that people's imaginations sometimes are so constrained that even when you pose that question, they can't answer it. So what I think works really well is to allow the answer to that question to really be the byproduct of an exploration process that focuses on healing. And rather than put a client on the spot and ask a question like that, which often they can't answer, sometimes you can get there through the back door. Sometimes those answers to what is it I really want to be doing will really come up unbidden. They'll come up automatically if you are working on the process of emptying out your vessel with the kinds of experiences that are filling it up that are no longer necessary to carry around.
And I mentioned something in the introduction that it's about when we get to that core of our values, when we get to the core of why we're here, what is our unique contribution? When we get to that core, that is a piece that I think you support in your work that is much more sustainable, that you're going to have the kind of energy it takes to have an expression of creative act.
Yes, I think that authenticity is really the key, and honoring. I have a concept called fertile limits that I bring up in the book that I think is key. I know I came to that concept through my own experience of feeling like I couldn't really keep up with the cultural majority, the striving and the workaholic tendencies that people have in our culture, and that ideal of just really work, and strive. And I think there's many of us who want to lead a more balanced life, and yet we want to make a contribution. And I think that what we look at with fertile limits is rather than see our limitations as something negative, we begin to focus on fertile limits as a way to honor who we truly are. And I know for myself, as a sensitive person, I needed a lot of downtime. I needed days off as well as days that were full of meaningful work. And being able to sustain that was very key for me. And I see that all the time in my practice. I try to help clients take a personal look at not only their talents, but where they feel their limitations lie. And rather than focus sort of continuously on overcoming limitations, part of it is honoring those limitations so that you know where to draw the line. And then that gives you a place to focus and you can bring out the best. I'm thinking about Chuck Close, who's a painter, and he had a neurological disability, and that neurological disability really was able to inform the way that he did his painting. And if you look at his style, it reflects that neurological disability. And I think that's really a positive thing for everyone to consider, is how can my limitations support my creativity, as opposed to looking at how can these limitations be gotten rid of. So I think there's a balance between where we want to stretch our boundaries and where we want to honor our personal limits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That brings me to chaos, because in these times, we live in very chaotic times, and we often are in what you term perceptional overload, you know, that we're just overloaded with things. And it just reminds me that, so if we start a creative process and we want it to go a certain way, we feel we want to control it, many times, and maybe all times, these endeavors have a mind of their own, and this kind of throws us in chaos. What advice do you have about that?
Well, chaos is definitely part of the creative process, and sooner or later, when you get further and further into your work, and or you're doing more and more research related to your work, you're going to feel that feeling of being overwhelmed or swamped. And I think there's various strategies. Some of the time you have to just keep going and let the chaos take you and just know that it eventually will pass and you're going to clear out the other side. And other times you need to take care of yourself and you have to step back. And whether that's taking a hot bath or taking a walk on the beach or playing with your pet or hanging out with your kids, but taking a break from that feeling of being overwhelmed, I think that's really important. But other times you have to immerse yourself in that feeling of being overwhelmed and allow the various strands of your idea or whatever your situation is to play themselves out.
So what I keep getting from you is that it's not a set formula. It's not, you're not putting out, here's step one, two, three, four, A, B, C. It's more fluid than that. And I'm also thinking about a teacher once said to me, and I felt it so true in my life, there's a day to do everything. There's a day to do something, and there's a day to do nothing. And we can just recall, at least I can recall in my life, there might be a day when I get everything done on my list. It just, my day is just flowing, and there's, it's just all just happening. And then there's another day, no matter what my effort is, nothing is working out. And that might be that day to just pull back and do what you were saying, go walk on the beach or go play with the dog, because you're just going to waste your time trying to make anything work. Is that your experience?
Well, I think the question of knowing yourself, which we talked about earlier, that self-knowledge is so key, because sometimes the whirling in the chaos is something you want to withdraw from. Other times you need to persevere and keep going. And it's knowing yourself and knowing and intuitively sensing what's needed. And I think that's what creators do, is they ask themselves what's needed in this case. And then you need to be able to follow that. And I think that's what separates creators from non-creators, is that trust in one's inner process and developing the healing process to the point where you have that trust in yourself. And even though that might put you out of step with what someone else is doing, or even though people might look at you funny and think, oh, you're being lazy because you've decided to take a mental health day in the middle of the day, then you have to trust that that's what's needed, as opposed to just constantly pushing through things. And I think that, again, creators can create their day. And on some days you're working very hard and it's going very well and it's almost seamless and it feels like you're flying. And other days you're still working and you're grinding it out, and that's what's necessary. And on other days you hit that wall and you just sense that this is a time to step back.
I'm here with Kathy Wild, and she's the author of Wild Ideas, Creativity from the Inside Out. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, kathywild.com. And she spells her name, Kathy with a C, Wild, WILD.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions.